The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Mystery to Me podcast. I'm Anya Kane.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee.
And we love movies and television shows with a whiff of mystery. Mystery to Me will feature us riffing on murder mysteries, film noir, cozy detective stories, police procedurals, psychological thrillers, legal dramas, tales of teen sleuths, and more.
Once we're done yucking it up about whatever we've just seen, we'll serve up our five-star final takes on whether it's worth your time.
If you're offended by silliness, profanity, political asides, canine-related interruptions, and losers laughing at their own bad jokes, beware. Also note that some of the stories we'll be talking about are pretty dark, and in some cases exceptionally badly written. So content warning for murder, violence, suicide, torture, rape, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and bigotry.
If there's a movie or show you'd like for us to talk about, email us at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com. Our show's take on genre is pretty loosey-goosey. So as long as your suggestion has some dash of mystery, we're interested in hearing about it.
Spoiler alert, we're going to be discussing the entirety of this show or movie, spoilers and all. So if you want to be surprised, press pause, go watch the thing, then join us for the show. Now that you've heard our spiel, go ahead and polish off those magnifying glasses and slip into your favorite trench coat. Let's get mysterious.
So, Anya, what did we watch?
Well, Kevin, before I tell you, I was thinking maybe we could do things a little differently this episode. Uh-oh. You know, instead of having fun, instead of having some laughs with each other and, you know, maybe teasing each other a bit, what if we, you know, got into some big arguments that made it clear that we don't really like each other and we could barely stand to be around each other and just kind of have a low-grade episode where we're not really talking about any sort of show in particular. We're just kind of bouting around from topic to topic vaguely. And I think that would be really fun for the listeners, don't you?
Well, it's kind of what our life is like behind the scenes.
it's letting people have a peek inside how it really goes down in this
household. I think this is your subtle way of making a comment about this episode we just saw.
I think it might be. We watched a episode, the series finale, actually, because it never was renewed, of the Nancy Drew show, not the beloved CW show that's on right now.
Oh, you must be talking about the Nancy Drew Hardy Boys show from the 1970s.
No, see, we've talked about that before.
Oh, are you talking about the series of disturbing films from the 30s?
Not that either. No, this is something Canadian from 1995. And the episode we watched was episode 13 of season 1, The Long Journey Home. And it aired on December 16th, 1995.
There's a lot to unpack in this episode.
There's a lot to, we need to sit down and figure this the fuck out. We saw previous episodes of the show, and I remember thinking, we should do a mystery to me on one of these, because they're kind of cute. You know, they're kind of low-key. But this one was more low than low-key. It was just low in spirits. It was depressing. It was boring. It was bad. So
just like an episode of this program.
Yeah, it's basically the show equivalent of us. It got off to a pretty inauspicious start, as you pointed out. This episode is 22 minutes long. What do they open with? You know, a quick character-driven moment or something exciting? No.
It's like a minute-long shot of a train coming into a train station. And then Nancy gets off of this train with her bow. Oh, so we should say that this is the 1990s, and this is like proto-CW stuff. We haven't quite figured out how to have hot young people like they have on CW.
No, yeah, we don't
But they're
know.
Trying.
They're trying, and they also don't know how to do, like, drama like they do on CW, where it's like, oh, you know, like, how are they going to make it all dramatic without necessarily having to be like, these people would want to kill each other, literally. They don't know how to write that yet.
No.
They haven't gotten there, but they're trying their damnedest. Nancy and Ned are on vacation.
Yes, and there was a bizarre trope in a lot of these shows when the focus of the show is female.
Mm-hmm.
Her love interest always has to hate everything that makes her special or unique or alive.
He just wants a dame to cook for him.
Like on the old show Bewitched, which is about a witch who has amazing and magical powers that could make her life and the lives of her loved ones just endlessly delightful and easy. And he says, you know what I hate about you? Is I hate those powers. And on this show, I think what we're supposed to enjoy about this show was Nancy has this great relationship with two strong female friends. And also she's really, really good at solving mysteries.
So basically like the coolest person ever.
So at the beginning of the show, he says, you know, Nancy, this weekend, don't do anything with your friends. Don't solve any mysteries. So it's what does he see in her? He just wants her to be weak and bland.
Also, very nice message, 1995. You know, guy is very desirable, but he's also trying to isolate Nancy from her friends and remove her from all her hobbies and maybe even her job. I'm not really sure if she gets money from making mysteries and or doing mystery stuff in this, but it's sort of like, wow, that's a few red flags, and we're just supposed to be like, that's great, love them.
And then I know I'm very old. You mention that all the time, Ned. Okay, first of all, Nancy Drew looks like a young adult.
Yeah,
she's age appropriate. I got no problem with that. Ned looks 12.
That's why he's so immature. He's just a 12-year-old boy.
Am I crazy? Didn't he look like he was a little boy?
Not to me. They both look like young adults to me. Maybe it's a guy thing. I don't know. They both look like, you know, early 20s.
I expected him in any scene to suddenly be dressed as, like, Jane North from Dennis the Menace. And then start calling for Mr. Wilson. So I found that disturbing.
Maybe that gives him an excuse to be such a mean, nasty guy in this episode.
So they're at this train station. The train has come in, and Nancy says, I have to go get the MacGuffin that's currently in the train station. Why don't you wait out here by the tracks? And the little boy Ned says, sure, that's no problem.
Anything to get away from you.
And so while she's inside, two Russian thugs come and they accost him. And it's not even just a friendly accost.
No.
It's not
you get that stuff all the time.
Yes, I get accosted when I step out for bread.
Yeah, people are just coming at you. All in good humor.
I'm a beloved local figure. So it's not like that, though. What they do is they grab him and they force him down on the train tracks. So they say, you need to give us what we want, or this train, which is suddenly approaching. It must be a very, very busy train station in this tiny town. There's a train moments away that is going to crush his skull like a grape.
And he's, I don't know what you're talking about. What's going on? Huh? Huh? Because he's a child. He doesn't know. And so he's bewildered. He's baffled. And then one of them reaches into Ned's pocket and gets out his wallet. And he looks at the identification and says, hey, this isn't even the right guy. And they go, oh, well, you know, let's go.
They're dusting him off.
Yeah, it was just a wacky misunderstanding.
We thought you were our friend.
And then they walk. They let him get up just as the train comes by.
Because it's not like he can identify them now as a witness.
I was about to mention this. And then these guys, they don't run away. They just very calmly walk into the train station, which is a closed building. And they pass Nancy coming out. So why doesn't Ned say, oh my God, those two men who are very, very slowly walking into the building and who don't really appear to be armed or to pose any danger to anybody, they just tried to kill me. Perhaps we should alert any of the crowd of people who surely are inside the station to this so an arrest can be made and we can get on with our weekend.
Maybe he thought that that's how they say hello in France and that was like the local greeting committee. I don't know. It was bizarre. Also, they could possibly start doing this to other people. So you think there would be a bit of like a, let's alert.
Why does he let him get away? Instead, he and Nancy just stand by a car, which I guess she's rented. And we cut to, he's just finished telling the story. He doesn't seem to be too bothered by it. He said, oh, let's just get on with our weekend. It's no big deal. He's trying to be like a tough boy.
When you're accosted by ruffians and held in front of a train, you just got to brush that off, right? That's toxic masculinity for you. Men would rather brush off train attacks than go to fucking therapy.
Maybe he thinks it's going to help him out for the weekend, because I think if I said, you know, Anya, I just got nearly killed, I think I'd probably be having a pretty fun weekend with you, if you know what I'm saying. I'm being tasteful here. You'd be spoiling me. You'd be babying me. I could just put my feet back. You'd bring me milk and cookies.
What the fuck? Is this like your weird fantasy? You have some sick romantic fantasy that you are going to get roughed up by goons at a train station, and that's going to make me a better wife?
Couldn't hurt. I've tried everything else.
And I'm going to be into you because, like, so now you have to know, though, Kevin, now that you've said this, if you ever do get roughed up at a train station, I'm just going to assume that you put up some of your buddies to do it.
Some of my goon friends.
Yeah, so you could end up reaping the rewards and having me take care of you because I'm worried about your mental health.
See, also, Nancy didn't see this, so he could have been making the whole thing up.
That would begin, but like, I mean, if you're at that point in your relationship, maybe just break up if the trust is that low.
You know, I say, oh, Anya, can you get me a cup of water? You step out, get me a cup of water, you come back. Oh my God, Anya, while you were gone, some thugs nearly killed me.
I mean, this is what you say anytime I get up and go away. So I've just learned to live with it and just ignore it.
So they get into the car.
Yeah, things get weirder. And then my allegiance here slips from switches, and you'll see why in a second, switches from Nancy to Ned, who's this, like, just an asshole in this episode. But, like, Nancy makes some decisions here that really aren't okay.
In the back seat of the car is a young man who actually looks like a young man. He looks like he's at least 10 years older than Ned, who, again, looks like he's 12. And this young man says, oh, I was sleeping here.
Oops.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to sleep here. I want to get home to see my mother, who I haven't seen in many a year. I didn't have money. So I thought I'd just sleep in the car overnight. Excuse me. I'm just leaving. And he's a handsome young man. And so Nancy kind of says, oh, you know, how far is that drive? Can we give you a lift, young man?
Can I meet your mom?
So is it like some sort of, you wondered if she was going to be like cucking Ned?
Yeah, because she seemed to have more of a thing going with this Frenchman than her ostensible boyfriend, who, again, and the Frenchman seems nicer. He's not like he's not telling Nancy like, oh, your hobby sucks. Fuck you. I mean, he's appreciative of the help she's given him. So I mean, wouldn't you rather be with someone like that than somebody who's just criticizing your every mood and just seems to be pissed off whenever you're around?
But if we get into our car and there's some bomb.
Oh, right. That's what I'm going back. But she's like, oh, yeah, just hitchhike with us. I mean, Jesus Christ, girl. You know, this is the 90s. I mean, in real life, he'd kill them and take their car. But, you know, but that doesn't
and
happen.
And who could blame him if he did?
Honestly, this version of Nancy and Ned should be put out of their misery, at least in this episode. It seems like I've never seen an episode with Ned in it before of this version. So I think that's why we were having fun earlier. It was like, oh, it's kind of like low-key, kind of 90s Nancy. No, but
we were never having fun.
90s Ned is a drag. I thought Nerd Nickerson from the 70s show was bad, but he's like a fucking, he's like a leading man. I mean, this guy just, you think he's 12, I think he's an asshole. It's just a bad combination, and it's bad vibes all around.
And she shouldn't be picking up other men in front of her boyfriend.
I agree, but her boyfriend sucks in this. Can we agree that her boyfriend fucking sucks and seems to hate her? She's desperate for some affection here. Every boyfriend. Time he's talking, he's criticizing her. He's like, you know, I don't like your hobby. I don't like you solving mysteries.
I think the whole show was a foot race to see which one I disliked the most.
I know, it really was.
I didn't like either of them.
But I'm just saying, when we watched episodes that were just about Nancy and Bess and George, her friends, you know, they didn't wow me. I wasn't like, oh my God, these are amazing. But I wasn't like offended. I wasn't like, oh God, this sucks. Like, you know, this was just a drag.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS or play online via Facebook games.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So against the protests of Ned,
who again is right in this situation, you don't take hitchhikers anywhere. Come on. Come on.
They give this guy a lift, and then there's a scene of them driving.
Also, can I just add, literally the same story, basically the same events that, according to my family lore, led my great-grandfather to possibly participate in a group of politically motivated bank robberies in Ireland. That's all I'll say about that. But just kind of like, I just want to go visit my mom. Can you drive me here? And then one thing leads to another, and then several banks have been hit, and it's a whole thing. But anyways, yeah. That's where I thought this was going.
Also, something very similar in our honeymoon. But that's neither here nor there.
We're not going to open old wounds.
So then there's like a shot of them driving, and it's a shot of him sitting in the back seat, this hitchhiker, this bum, this handsome
young
fella.
Don't call him a bum. That's not politically correct.
A hobo?
Oh my God.
What about a ne'er-do-well?
A ne'er-do-well is fine.
So this handsome young ne'er-do-well is sitting in the back seat, the wind blowing through his hair magnificently. And he's just droning on about his childhood. He says, oh, yes, I was a child in this neighborhood. I haven't been back there since. And oh, how does it feel to be back here where I once was as a child?
That's what you do whenever we go to your hometown. You insist on sitting in the back seat of our car, even if there's no one up front with me. And you just go on and on. It's like the world's worst driving tour.
And that's how you are everywhere but my hometown.
Demand to sit in the back like you're my chauffeur.
And even just sitting here at home, you always sit in the couch behind me and just start talking and just rambling about your childhood.
Jesus. Yeah, he's talking about his mother problems. He's talking about his, like, mommy problems. That's a little weird.
So then they arrive in the town. He says, goodbye, folks. It's been great. Thanks for everything. Sorry again for sleeping in the car. And is there anything I can do for you? And Nancy says, well, one thing you can do is tell us the truth, because I know you didn't sleep in that car. And he says, oh, you got me.
I took a dump in the car.
And Ned is like, why didn't you tell me you knew this guy was lying the whole time before we gave him this ride and listened to him go on and on about his fucking childhood? And Nancy says, eh. And so then he walks away. And then at that point, Ned and Nancy walk into what seems to be a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
And in the foreground, for some reason.
My favorite character in this.
They're in the background when they walk into this restaurant. But in the foreground, displayed prominently, is an immobile woman.
A woman with long brown hair. She knows she's on camera, and she's very uncomfortable about it because her eyes are doing things like, oh, geez, what is, oh, I can't believe I agreed to this. And you kind of want to help her. And frankly, she's the most relatable character in this episode because that's how we feel. We're all the woman, you know, trying to get some, you know, red wine or you know, grape juice maybe, and baguettes, and you're just trying to enjoy yourself in France, and these people are causing drama and just boring the hell out of you, and you just want to be out of there. So I related to this woman, and she was my favorite character by far in this whole thing. Give her a spinoff. She could solve the mysteries.
So then they say, oh, look, there's somebody already sitting at a table. It's our ne'er-do-well friend who hasn't a penny to his name. And he says, I've decided I feel bad. I'm going to buy you a meal at this nice restaurant, even though I don't have a penny to my name. And they say, oh, gee, thanks. And they sit down with him.
This isn't a horror movie. I mean, this is a horror movie, right? I mean, like, the young couple in a foreign country takes a hitchhiker.
How is he paying for that meal?
It's very suspicious.
He doesn't have a penny to his name.
He didn't tell them that, but you're assuming that because he was sleeping in somebody else's car.
He's sleeping in cars.
You know, but maybe he's a prince in disguise. He's the lost Dauphine.
Get real. You're insulting the intelligence of our audience. Well, I apologize for my
wife.
Well,
you know what? It doesn't really get any better in terms of storytelling because the next thing you know, I don't even remember what happens with the. I think he just keeps telling them about, oh, my mom doesn't even know me anymore. Who cares? Whatever. Go to therapy or something. And then they go back to their, you know, nice hotel room. And a big-ass golden cross falls out of some silky pink stuff that Ned's picking up. So that was weird. I was like, okay. And
yeah, what did Ned have planned?
Yeah, I don't know. But it apparently didn't involve this big-ass golden cross that clunks out. Because then they're like, uh-oh, this is what the Russians were looking for. This guy was probably a thief. And so, huh.
And then somehow they see him again. And he says, well, no, actually, I wasn't a thief.
I'm just a cross mule.
I was hanging out with at the church, and a guy at the church said, hey, I'll buy you a ticket home as long as you make a delivery. And he's on the plane or whatever it was he was doing, and he reads a newspaper article. He says, oh, golly, this delivery I was making was a stolen cross. And so, and then he doesn't want to deliver the stolen cross because it's stolen, and he doesn't want to steal from the church. So you would think then as soon as he gets off the plane,
go to the cops.
He would notify the appropriate authorities, and we wouldn't be watching this episode. But no, he like hides, and people are like chasing him. He's, oh, what am I going to do?
And they're like, go to the police. He's like, no.
Why do they decide not to go to the police?
Because the mobsters might hurt his mom. Even though they have not kidnapped her, they just politely asked her where her son was earlier in the episode, and they witnessed that, and they leave her alone then.
Where Nancy then says, well, wait a minute. The whole reason they tried to kill Ned was because they thought he looked so much like you, Mr. Ne'er-do-well. They look nothing alike.
They don't look anything alike. They both have lightish hair.
And one of them is like 5, and the other one's like 52.
They're not, it's not.
They look nothing alike.
You're like choking up even thinking about it.
It's very emotional for me.
Okay, but also, if you were a savvy sleuth like Nancy Drew is purported to be, would you buy a cock and bull story that someone gives you about, I didn't know that wasn't mine. Somebody gave me that bag.
By the way, I can't go to the police.
Yeah, I can't go to the police. At the very least, like, you could go, if you don't want to go to the police at the airport because you're afraid they're going to, like send you back to Russia and you're going to get in trouble there, you could at least, like, you could do a lot of things. You could drop it off at the Russian consulate. You know, like, you could, there's ways to amend this situation, one would think.
Well, Nancy comes up with a plan. She says, obviously, they think the two of you look alike. Let's play on that. Because it actually is a
trick. Let's have some fun, guys.
So they're in this room in a hotel or something, and the bad guys are outside waiting for them to come out. So here's what we will do. You two appear out front wearing similar outfits and sunglasses and I think a hat. That'll fool them. So there's
we're in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
And then I want you to lead them on some slapstick Scooby-Doo Three Stooges-esque chases.
Honestly, if it had paid off in that sense, that would have been the episode would have soared in my view, but it didn't really pay off.
It was just a shot of these two guys. The bad guys are chasing our hero and the ne'er-do-well. And I think it's supposed to be funny because they're like running into doors and stuff and nearly missing each other. And like, remember, these guys are killers. And so Nancy has just put both of their lives in danger.
Are they killers? If they were real cold-blooded killers, wouldn't they have killed Ned? Because at the very least, no, there were no witnesses around them. They could have just pushed him into the train and he would have been run over and killed and it could have looked like an accident.
That's what you would have done.
I'm not a killer, but I'm just saying if they're really that cold-blooded, they haven't acted upon it yet.
Yeah, you're like doing the old joke, like, if I did it, this is how you would do it.
If I was...
This is all hypothetical.
If I was secretly a
hitman.
People
shouldn't go looking at accidents at train stations near your hometown. This is just talk.
If I did it. You're making me sound like a monster.
If...
Yeah, but here's my advice to you, Kevin. Don't let me catch you near any trains anytime soon.
So they're like all running around, and then while they're running around, these cold-blooded, sophisticated killers, Nancy knows what their car is, and of course they've left it unlocked.
Naturally.
So then her big plan is she takes this cross, she puts it, which they want more than anything else. She takes it, and she puts it in their car.
Just give it back to them. Surrender the bad guys. No worries. It's a priceless artifact that's been stolen from a church in a different country. So you know what you do? You give it to the guys who stole it.
And are willing to kill for it.
And salute them, and let them fund their drug trade or whatever the fuck they're doing with it. That's great. That's some sleuthing.
So then she goes back into the hotel, and the dumb little energy-less... languid slapstick chase slogs its way to a close.
But you know what? That was still the best part of this whole thing, because at least it was trying to do something stupid, and I appreciated that.
And so Nancy's Ned and Nancy's ne'er-do-well, they get back into the hotel.
A Ned-do-well, if you might.
And as soon as they get back into the hotel, Nancy, we've neglected to mention, she has some sort of sound effect device, some sort of Foley machine, which she Why was she bringing that on her little sex trip with Ned?
I'm going to tell you, because and at one point Ned confronts her on it, like, turn that shit off, which, like, fair. But she's like, oh, it's because someone was rummaging around my bag. So I guess that was supposed to be the Ned Duel. But, like, but wow, do you have, are there alarms for bags? I'm so confused. Anyways, proceed.
So it has the sound effect of police sirens. So she plays it. And these guys who are desperate to get the cross back and are keeping an eye on the ne'er-do-well because of this, says, oh, police are coming. Obviously, they're coming to get us. They can't just be, like, doing a random chase or chasing a speeder. It has to be us. So what we have to do is get in our car and drive away at top speed, which they proceed to do. And then at that point, they're pulled over for speeding, and the police, for some reason, after they pull them over for speeding, they said, well, just for the heck of it, just for shits and giggles, we'll search your car.
Nobody has rights in France.
They search the car, find the cross. The case is wrapped up.
They immediately know the cross, I guess, is stolen, not just these men's rightful possession.
Don't you think in France that makes all the news? All the police get a report on stolen crosses.
Hot cross buns. I'm trying to have fun here. This episode sucked.
So then they take the ne'er-do-well to his mom's house. And she seems happy to see him. And he kind of shrugs his shoulders at his Ned and Nancy.
Love my mom.
And then Ned and Nancy, then we cut to them near a train station.
Yeah, here's where things really go. I mean, like, this was already downhill, but we somehow crater out from here.
Ned says, Nancy, I gotta go back to Africa for 6 months. I waited to tell you until now, the last possible moment, because I didn't want to give you anything to think about. I just wanted you to make a sudden snap decision. I love you. Come to Africa with me. For 6 months.
And let me just also point out that this man has been criticizing her for putting her work as a sleuth before him. And then he proceeds to make it clear that his career, I don't know what that is, it's something quote-unquote agency, so probably some shadowy CIA front based in Africa.
They don't hire five-year-olds in the CIA.
Well, I mean, maybe they want the baby face. It fools people. And he's literally doing that, which is, you know, whatever. But, like, then don't be criticizing other people for doing the same thing.
And he should have given her plenty of notice of this. But then she says, you know, gosh, Ned, you know, you're important to me. But 6 months? You can't expect me to give up 6 months.
They're a toxic relationship.
6 months isn't that long. I'd be like, you know, Anik, will you wait here while I run to the grocery store for 20 minutes? You say, Kevin, 20 minutes.
I'm not going
to
put my life on fucking hold for that. What are you doing? I think she is being nice and saying the right things of, like, oh, you're important to me. But I think she realizes, like, he's not supportive of her. And she just, you know, she's kind of in that inertia where she doesn't want to break up with him because she's in love with him. But it's also, like, she realizes that he's not good for her. And I think this version of Ned's really just not. I think the ideal Ned, if you're going to write a Ned, you got to make him concerned about Nancy's safety, but not a wet blanket and not somebody who's just trying to, like, destroy her dreams. He should be like, hey, we should relax. Maybe you shouldn't, you know, put all your time into sleuthing because, you know, that's not great for your mental health, babe. But, like, you know, we can, you know, but, like, I support you and it's really cool that you do this. Like, you can have a balance here. Yeah. What happened to nuance? That's what they need a nuanced Ned. 90s Ned, nerdy Ned. That's old. So hopefully at some point we'll get to watch the CW version, and hopefully that'll be a nuanced Ned.
So then he gets on this train to go to Africa.
Yeah, just woo woo, next stop, Africa. Mozambique. I mean, what the fuck?
And Nancy starts running after the train. And she goes at a very languid pace. Because we see her at the top of the steps that lead down to the train, and she starts running. And then we have a shot of Ned slowly boarding the train, very slowly taking off. And then we cut to Nancy. She's going down, like, maybe two steps. So she's making a token effort here, at best.
And the most of the train gets away.
Yes.
The most embarrassing part is afterwards, immediately in the voiceover, she's like, I don't even know why I just did that.
But she says, Ned, I love you too. The biggest mystery of all is the mystery of our relationship. Who knows if I'll ever solve it? End of series.
What a fun, upbeat way to go out. It is true. I mean, in this case, why would they be together? They both obviously make each other miserable. We never once saw them like really working as a great team, or it's not a situation where it's like we fight a lot, but we obviously like are really into one another. It's just kind of like, you know, like personality clash, lots of whining and grievances, just not fun to watch. They didn't know how to write drama back then. They were really trying to figure it out on TV, and they hadn't really gotten to that point yet. Because, you know, it can't just be disagree, disagree, disagree. There has to be some points where the couple is like, oh, okay, you know, we don't just hate each other. We have some fun.
Yeah.
You know? And having Ned lean all into the, like, fuck mysteries, a mystery killed my father, I'll never be okay with mysteries, is just, you know, just sucks.
It sucks.
Fucking sucks.
Frankly, it sucks. This was a huge waste. It was a waste of our time to watch it.
Yep.
It was a waste of our time to talk about it, and it was a waste of time for these fine people to listen to.
I know, and we're sorry about that, and trust me, we don't like doing this either. But we just decided to watch something fun and quick, and it turned out to be
anything but.
Anything but. And also, I just want to say, our relationship is a mystery, but it's the one mystery I can't seem to solve. Did Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City write this? Like, what the fuck?
I was worried for a moment that when you just said that, I thought you were talking about us.
So insecure. I don't think our relationship's a mystery. I think we're two very, very similar and strange people. It's the most obvious thing in the world. Maybe we're a mystery to other people.
Yep. Not to ourselves. Everyone saw us coming. We're like the train that's going to run over somebody's head.
Yeah. Honestly, that train's the real hero of the story. He gets us in, and then he gets us the fuck out after 20 minutes. No, not a moment silly. Just get the fuck out. And that's what closes us out.
This felt like a lot longer than 20 minutes.
Our previous episode was about Top Gun, which is like a, what, two-hour movie or something?
I think longer than 2 hours.
Longer than 2 hours. This felt longer.
You enjoyed Top Gun.
I enjoyed Top Gun. I was having fun. I was not having fun at all. Nancy Drew in France should be fun. She should be in Paris doing something cool. Not like, you know, wherever the fuck we are. I mean, I don't even know where this is.
Nancy Drew in Africa would also be fun. If she went over there and solved mysteries.
Yeah,
Ned, and maybe come up with some reason for Bess and George to get over there.
Yeah, he obviously hates her friends, so that's always off-putting. Like, get away from this guy, Nancy.
Hates her friends, hates her interests, but loves her.
He wants to change her. That's not good. All right, are we ready to take the train and get the fuck out of here?
You have to come up with some sort of pithy comment that sums it all up and makes us feel like we haven't wasted our time. You're going to pull us out of this nosedive and send us up into the stars.
Can't even say it. I'd say the long journey home turned out to be a short slog to nowhere.
Thanks for listening this week. I'd like to give a special thanks to Kevin T. Greenlee, who's no relation to me. He's the guy that composed the great music for this podcast, and you can find him on the web at kevintg.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at MysteryToMe. That's mystery_2_me_. And at MysteryToMePodcast on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can always send us recommendations and feedback of any kind at MysteryToMePodcast@gmail.com.
We're not teens setting up Hotmail accounts in the early 2000s, so all of those spell out 2 as T-O.
Thanks so much for listening.